the joy that it gave them when they realized that Jesus was alive, even though he had died. I wonder if you had been in that first group of people who heard the news, Jesus is alive, what you would have thought. I wonder if 10 years down the road, some of these Christians came to your town, and in your marketplace, at your school, at your factory or office, they started talking to you about Jesus. That he died. Oh, that's so sad. But he rose again. That is so weird. That seems so wrong. Would you have believed it? As we think about that, I want you to notice the little picture in your sheets of paper this evening. It's a picture that was drawn more than 100 years ago. In fact, nearly 200 years ago. That's a long time ago. It's a picture of a strange little creature that the first white visitors to Australia found. And they found it very hard to describe this creature. They sent messages back to England. The governor at the time in 1797, Governor Hunter, he said he saw an Aboriginal spear one of these little creatures. And so he wrote about it and he took the skin of one of these creatures and sent him back to England with some drawings. And people looked at it and said, it's got a beak like a duck, a tail like a beaver. It has feet like an otter. In fact, the Aboriginals also said it lays eggs. They could not believe what they saw. They thought it was a hoax. You see, around that time, some sailors were bringing treasures from their travels across the sea, and some very clever, cruel, not sure how to describe them, salesmen made mermaids and sold them to the sailors. They took a monkey's head and body and arms and attached to it a fish's tail. And these sailors were bringing it back to England and, look, I've got a mermaid. They're real. And everybody said, that's a hoax. So when Governor Hunter's letter and parcel arrived and other descriptions of this from other people over the next 10 years or so came, they could not believe it. They thought it was a hoax. You know what this little creature is, don't you? The children here, can you tell me what the creature is? Go on, big loud voice. A platypus. That's right, the platypus, not seen anywhere else in the world, only seen here in Australia. Do you know it took almost 100 years more before they believed that it really did lay eggs? It wasn't until 1884 that someone caught a female one and opened it up and found an egg inside. They had seen the real thing because Joseph Banks had a friend in Australia that sent him one. And they knew then, a stuffed one, that it wasn't a fake. It was real. But it took a lot of time for people to believe the truth. You'll notice there in the notes that I make 2 points from that. One is that people found it hard to understand or believe, but the fact that they found it hard to understand or believe didn't mean it was a lie. The second thing is, the reason that they believed was the witness to the truth that was given. these letters that came, the skins that were sent, and eventually jars containing the remains of a platypus. As those witnesses mounted one upon the other, people came to believe. They had never seen one before, never heard of this. It was just weird. But it was real. It was true. They had the evidence, and so they believed. It was too wonderful that this little creature existed. But it does. And if you've been to Healesville Sanctuary, you will have seen one, perhaps. But I wonder how many of us have really seen one in the wild. They're very rare, very quiet little creatures. The Christian faith is something like that. It's about something that to people who hear about it for the first time is really weird. And yet it's spoken of, it's told by people who think it is absolutely wonderful. It's good news. Imagine what it must have been like when the women went to the tomb, the graveyard, where Jesus' body was laid after he died, and found not only the tomb empty, but told by an angel that the reason it was empty was that Jesus was alive. And how they ran to tell the disciples, the special friends of Jesus, and they didn't want to believe them. What it must have been like for them, for Peter, for John, then all the others as they heard the news that Jesus was alive. And they began to say, it's true, because we met him also. Here in this letter that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he reminds them of the evidence and how there was piece after piece of it until in the end they too believed. He says, first of all, that Jesus did die and was buried. There was no doubts about that. Everybody knew it. Even the enemies of Jesus never doubted that he died. They accused the friends of Jesus stealing the body, but they never doubted that he died and was buried. But they didn't steal the body. Peter, perhaps the leader of those friends at that time, said that Jesus met me and talked with me. Paul says he appeared to other of those friends as well that night and the night after, the Sunday night after he did this. He also points out that Jesus was seen by over 500 people at one time. And he goes so far as to say that though some have died, most of them are still alive. You know what that meant for the people in the church at Corinth? You could pack your bags, go from Greece all the way down to Jerusalem and have a chat. You saw Jesus? What did you see? Oh, what did you hear? Oh. Then you could go to another part in Jerusalem and meet another one. You saw Jesus? What did you see? What did you hear? Oh. You're all saying the same thing. Many believed, and they were still alive. You could have a chat with them. And Paul also mentions James, who is the brother of Jesus, who right through the life of Jesus, it seems he didn't want to believe anything about Jesus. But Jesus met him too. And now James believes that Jesus is alive. And you know what's surprising of all? Paul then he says, me too. Now if you know Paul's story, it's a story he hated Christians. He hunted Christians. He hurt Christians. He wanted to stop Christians. Because he thought they were liars and that they were leading people away from God. But Jesus met him when he was about his dirty business. And Paul believed, and his life changed. In fact, the life of the other disciples or friends of Jesus also changed, because they used to be afraid, hiding away after the death of Jesus. But now they were openly telling people about Jesus and saying, "We are eyewitnesses." And Paul's life changed too. Now, some said that it was a hoax. This is just another mermaid story, made up to make some money, made up to make some friends. Maybe you've met people like that who spin stories so that you will like them, so that you will listen to them. Is that really what was happening here? Some, even today, still think that the friends of Jesus were lying. But how could they have done it? A small number of frightened fishermen overpower a band of top Roman soldiers, roll away a very heavy stone and steal a body, then hide it somewhere in Jerusalem while all the enemies of Jesus were looking for it. If they could find it, it would show not only that Jesus was dead, but the Christian message was dead as well. Do you really think they could have gotten away with it? But more than that, why would they do it? Why would they steal it? Why would they tell a lie? They have nothing to gain. These men changed. They began to risk their lives. And in many cases, they died, still teaching others about this message. Only a lunatic will suffer, let alone die, for a lie. It is the fact of the resurrection that gave these early believers an unmovable faith, a faith for which they were prepared to suffer and die. But some people are kinder, and they think they weren't lying, they weren't trying to deceive people. They only thought they saw Jesus because they were so, so sad. And oh, they just wanted to see him one more time. Maybe you've known what it is to be as sad as that. But did you remember one of the witnesses that Paul mentioned? There was 500 people and more at the same time. That's not how imaginations work. What they believed was that Jesus was dead. They didn't expect to see him again. He was buried. It was over. They were not wanting to believe that their hero was still alive. And as a result, create a fact in their mind of Jesus existing, having an hallucination. No, they had lost hope in Jesus. And they talked about that to each other. They were certain that Jesus was not alive. They didn't want to believe. It wasn't just that they didn't plan to believe. They believed the opposite. They were shocked when they saw Jesus alive. They had to be convinced that he really was alive, that it wasn't their imagination, that he wasn't a ghost or a vision. And they tell us they were convinced. It was the appearance of Jesus that brought that conviction to them. And remember Paul, he wasn't looking for Jesus. He was wanting to stamp out, to remove any hint about Jesus. So when he says, "Jesus met me," you can be pretty sure Paul wasn't hoping to meet Jesus. The Christian faith is not based on a nice story. It's not based on a myth or a fable. It's not about make-believe. This is reliable testimony that Jesus, though he died, is a living person. These people told what they saw. They did not say what others told them. They saw Jesus, they met Jesus, they touched Jesus, they talked with Jesus. They were faced with real interaction with Jesus. They didn't expect it, but they were convinced by it. He was dead, but now he is alive, was their story. As people looked at these facts about the death, the burial, and the coming back to life of Jesus, many realized it was true and placed their faith in Jesus. That's the people Paul writes to. And that's many of us here today. My prayer is that it will be true of each and every one of us. But why produce all these eyewitnesses? Why does Paul tell Christians about this? Because he's reminding Christians, but also interested people, that the basis of our belief concerning Jesus or about Jesus is real history. These are real events. But he's also encouraging Christians, showing them that there's a lot more evidence for the truth of what they believe than most people have for what drives their lives, their hopes, especially for what happens at the end. Think about it. Without this resurrection story, without this declaring that Jesus is alive, then Christianity would have ended in that graveyard. People wouldn't be talking about Jesus 2,000 years on. In fact, why would anyone bother coming to church? Why would we invite you to come here? No, something happened to produce the faith, and that was facts. The fact of the empty tomb. The fact of disciples being changed from fear to being bold, from being silent to speaking out. It is the fact of the church, which is the company, the grouping together, the coming together of those who believe. Only the fact of the resurrected Christ truly explains this. Sure, if it's not true, it doesn't make any difference. We might as well go home. Might as well find something else to amuse us, to do with our lives. Find some other way to overcome our fears, especially about death. For at best, Jesus has nothing to offer but possible help in maybe this tough time or that tough time. But doesn't really help us with life or death. But if it is true, then this is good news. And Jesus is someone we need to know. For only Jesus has come back from the grave, alive in a way that death can never touch him again. That's why we're saying he's the conqueror of death. Jesus won the greatest victory of all time. Not just the battle against death, but the battle against sin, that which is in us that always makes us, it seems, to do things that are wrong. It makes us feel guilty. We don't need God to tell us we're guilty. We tell ourselves we're guilty. But God certainly knows how to make us feel the guilt as we should see it. Now, all those who believe in Jesus will one day be raised too. That they're in Jesus is the answer to their sin and to their guilt and to death, and that they will live now and forever. Yes, none of us can escape death, but we do find in the resurrection of Jesus our hope, for he overcame death, not just for himself, but he says for all who believe in him. Peter is one of those friends, and I've mentioned him. He also wrote in what we now call the Bible. And he wrote these words, We should thank God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should say how very great he is. God is so very kind that he has caused us to be born again. Think of it as making a total new start with a whole new inner me. He has given us a new life. This is possible because God raised Jesus Christ. God raised Jesus so that he became alive again after his death. And because of this new life, we continue to hope certainly for good things. We are sure that we will live with God always. You know, as we look at the evidence, as Christians, we are very honest in saying we find it a lot easier to believe it than to not believe about Jesus. And we ask you to look at the evidence and to speak the evidence clearly and simply as well. Every Sunday as we gather, we are declaring this great truth that though Jesus died for our sin, he is now alive. Do you know that? Let's talk to God once more in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, write your words in our hearts. Bring us from confusion to faith, and from faith to strength, to commitment to follow you, to follow Jesus. Raise us up with your truth, that the world may hear, indeed, and in our lives see Jesus. Amen.